Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations.
Welcome, travelers. I'm Lee Wanika, and this is Tabletop Journeys. We are here with the inaugural event known as Star Trek Preservations Quick Treks. The idea and concept for Quick Treks is fairly simple. We have an expansive universe in Star Trek Preservations. Our actual play cast has done an amazing job building wonderful characters and developing fantastic storylines, both internally as far as their individual character developments, as well as the storyline in general. So much so that we, almost a year ago, expanded into Star Trek Expeditions as a separate game run, not on the actual play, but certainly run with our patrons, and to expand the story and this part of our shared universe to make the story really fill out and feel fun, warm, and engaging. Following that, and in recent months, I've begun to develop a third campaign group that'll be run live during conventions and such, which is known as Star Trek Aegis. More details on that to come. The idea here is I just love the Star Trek universe. I love the characters that we have been developing, and I love this storyline. But, Idik, there are so many stories that can and should be told, and I've got the players, we have the players, you, the audience, have access to the players that really are good at telling these stories, so we're going to keep expanding. One of the ways that we can do some of that is to take small scenes that are important to the overall story, but don't necessarily fit in the bottle that is a single episode that's somewhat structured and somewhat contained. In some cases are going to be scenes that took place in the middle of other episodes or at the conclusion of other episodes or as precursors to previous episodes. The goal here is to just keep having fun, keep playing a fantastic game, keep developing wonderful characters and a great story. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to the cast of characters for this particular Preservations Quick Trek. And I'm going to start with the CEO of the Delamis Christian. Take it away, sir.
Thank you, everyone. My name is Joe Harney, and I am playing Commander Sabine Tabor, who is a Join Trill and is the commanding officer of the USS Delamis Christian, a Saber-class Federation starship.
Excellent. And our second player today?
Hi, Glenn Myers, one of the hosts of Tabletop Journeys. And on Star Trek Preservations, I play Lieutenant Camdril Najjar, the half-betazoid chief of security for the Delamis Christian.
Wonderful. Appreciate you all taking some time out of our regular recording schedule to join us for this particular session. This particular scene is going to take place after the conclusion of episode 4, the crew of the Delamis Christian had an exciting adventure to Commander Ocean's homeworld, Saltek 4. A really exciting finish that happened there. I invite folks, if you have not already listened to that, to go back and listen to that prior to this. It'll be a lot of fun. But the idea is, at the conclusion of that episode, the crew and the Delamis Christian are moving to a new location. This scene takes place in that time frame before episode 5 starts and after episode 4 has concluded. That said, we are going to open in Commander Tobor's ready room. At this time, Commander Tobor has requested a meeting with Commodore Pritchard, and Lieutenant Najjar has been working on various investigations, even shifting some of his investigative parameters to focus in on software versus hardware issues on board the Delamis Christian in the ever-increasing challenge of finding the specifics and details of the Epsilon protocol and how it works. Commander Tobor, you're in your ready room. You've set your request for an additional consultation. You have Lieutenant Najjar, who's got some questions for you about his investigation and how to proceed. We're going to open the scene with him having already stepped in. You've asked him to have a seat, and I will leave the scene to the two of you.
Please, Lieutenant, have a seat.
Thank you, sir. So as I've been continuing my investigations that you requested of me, I do have a question on what we're looking for at this point. Originally, I was comparing diagnostics and plans for the ship to scheduled maintenance, upgrades, etc., looking for additional systems added. But since you were able to determine that Epsilon protocol is contained completely within the computer core, there are no additional external systems for it. Am I to consider that investigation complete, or do you think that there is more that we need to discover about where it is and how it's embedded in the computer core? I'm not certain that I have the access to the security clearance and the access to be able to affect it there.
True, but the software is one thing, but there's obviously a hardware component because Pritchard installed this kill thing that will vaporize any organic material. So I want to know, those aren't on the original schematics for the ship.
Very good.
I want to know what other booby trap surprises there are. Is there something attached to the bottom of the warp core? Those types of things. The protocol itself is software, but it's going to have to interact with elements within the ship that aren't on the blueprint plans.
Understood, sir. I will continue looking.
With that, Lieutenant Najjar is going to go back to security office, head back. As he leaves, Commander Tobor, your communications officer, says, "Sir, I have Commodore Pritchard on the line for you."
Very good. Put him through into my ready room.
A very stern-faced Pritchard appears on your screen. Tobor.
Commodore.
I understand that you wanted to talk. I have a little bit more time than I had previously.
I was hoping to have this conversation in person, but circumstances being what they are, I guess we can have this chat over the phone.
Sounds good. Are we securing this communication?
Of course.
And he touches a single button, and you see the purple lights go up behind him. Epsilon secured.
Permission to speak freely, sir?
Under these circumstances, Tobor, I think you are going to, regardless of my answer to that question, so have at it.
I find myself in a very difficult predicament, Daniel. I went to the Trill Elder Council and invoked the right of unfinished business that had not been invoked in my society for nearly two centuries in order to come back and take this position and continue the search for Epsilon. And then for me to find out in the heat of conflict, you installed an entire subsystem into my starship and didn't bother to tell me about it? That's the kind of paranoia I expected out of Shaz, not you. Have we gone round the bend? Are we in the wilderness of mirrors? And we cannot even trust each other?
I have answers for you, Tobor. But you don't want them.
I understand compartmentalization, but you gave me command of the Christian. You trusted me with her to see the mission through. And but for the quick thinking of my officers during that encounter, in Tethys, the Epsilon Protocol's activation could have led to the destruction of the ship. But if I had known about it, I could have taken it into account. I would have never let them beam on board. But I was trying to sucker them out and figure out what it was on board the Christian that's so important to them that they would sacrifice their drones and their resources and expose themselves to us, which they have been extraordinarily good at hiding from us. But to come out in the open and try to get on board the ship, what are they looking for?
That's why you're out there. You're supposed to find that out.
You saw the logs. I sent them to you. You heard the conversation. There's obviously something on board the ship they want. And I have no idea what it is. Epsilon software. I purge that with a single print of my thumb. They're not getting that. But there's something else, isn't there?
My guess is you didn't purge that software.
No, not yet. I'd only do that if in a last ditch part of the self-destruct protocol.
My guess is you won't be successful in doing that.
Mr. Tenari is a very skillful engineer, and if I have to have him take each isolinear chip out of the computer core by hand, I don't want to. We're on the same side. I'm the tip of the spear, as you've told me, and I need to know these things.
I'm telling you, you don't want to know these things. I am telling you that your investigations will eventually figure out what they want. And I'm not talking about what they want on the Christian. I think you already know what they want on the Christian. I think you're trying to get the details on it so you can figure out the why.
If I know the why, I can predict their, more accurately predict their responses and their actions.
Anything I tell you might color that investigation. It might lead you down a path that may or may not be the correct path. It won't be evidence-based. It will be my experience-based. So again, I'm going to repeat, you don't want me to tell you these answers. But I am going to tell you that it's important that you get them.
Obviously, that's why I'm here.
This is the wrong tree that you're barking on, Tobor. It's going to hurt you a lot more to get the answers here than elsewhere.
And one of the main reasons why I joined the Rutledge Battle Group to begin with is we were pretty certain that they could not take over a joined Trill without it killing me or killing Neela. I trust you lives. And if it weren't for you, Tobor would have never made it back. And that's the only reason the council granted me permission to return and take up this unfinished business of ours.
Tobor, do you know how many Trill there are in the higher echelons of Starfleet intelligence?
That I'm aware of? That are joined? Or just Trill themselves?
In general.
A couple dozen?
Less. The powers that be at Starfleet Intelligence determined sometime in the early 23rd century that any species that has abilities akin to a species memory, but then that individually could become a different entity with different sensibilities, different drives, different wants, different values, could in fact be a liability versus a strength. I have never held this particular view. I made decisions a very long time ago as to whom I chose to trust based on gut instinct.
It's ironic because that's the same reason why Trill didn't join the Federation earlier, was the same concern from our side that you humans would want to weaponize our ancestral memories.
Oh, I'm confident there are those who would want to do that. But the same ones who would want to do that are the ones who would never want Trill to know what they're doing.
Which is why we're all extraordinarily careful.
You are.
So if you think, and I trust you, if you think it is better for the mission for me to come at it with fresh eyes, let's say, not colored by your experience and knowledges, then that's what I'll do. But if there is information I need to know in order to ensure the success of the mission, as well as the safety of the ship, we all understand the reason why the Sabres were chosen for this is that 40 Starfleet personnel is an acceptable casualty loss figure. Me and my senior officers who are read into the Epsilon Protocol understand this. And we chosen this because it is an existential threat to the Federation.
Tovor, what I think is I need to follow through on something that was asked of me a very long time ago. If you ever feel that the time is right, access file Pritchard 4352 Noibudike. And what you're asking is there. I will not consider it a lack of trust if you choose to do that.
I appreciate it. How can I get the computer to tell me what the hell Epsilon Protocol is in the ship? She and I have been going around and around. This feels like Darjeeley's work. You have him code the computer?
Not exactly. And I will give you that answer. You have to find the software access, and then you're going to have to ask. I will give you this. Stop treating the Dalamas Christian and all of her personalities as programs and software. Start treating them as a hostile witness.
That makes sense.
I owe you an apology, Tobor. I was a little curt with you earlier when last we spoke. I'm trying to be better. But I will say this, and I want you to know how I feel about this. Never again, if I ever have anything to say about it, will there ever be acceptable losses. No loss to me is acceptable. Not a single one.
I appreciate that, sir. And I appreciate your actions when dealing with Shraz. Spoke volumes to everyone within the task group. He's a good man. We just need to figure out a way to surgically remove that duranium stick from his backside.
Yeah, well. Perhaps.
Real quick, sir, if I may.
Yes.
So we're dealing with this Ebony Knox syndicate on Saltec 4. And I know he's not been very forthcoming about it, but Shraz has syndicate connections. Is this the same? Is his family involved with the Ebony Knox? And that's what this whole thing is with him and the hostility with my XO?
I had resources allocated to determine that. If there's a connection, and there may still be some connection, it's fairly minor and not likely to be a contributing factor.
No, other than just he's just extra ornery when dealing with me and my crew.
That's more about you and your crew.
Fair.
But his connection to what's happening where you are right now, none that I've been able to see, and I have that on good authority.
All right. I have Commander Janok. I've taken him into custody and will be returning him to Aslan Station when we get the chance after this mission. He passed along the subspace weaponry technology schematics to an unknown third party under his own orders. I figure there's a lot more going on here than what we realize up front. There's another party at play, which I'm sure you are looking into already.
It's a shame I didn't get you out there earlier. My operative in your vicinity has already departed for a different mission.
He tried to make contact with Chizilrer, but he was not with me at the time.
Keep me posted. We'll see what we can do. But our focus has to be on Epsilon matters.
Of course, as it always shall be. But a subspace weaponry going through the home world of my first officer? That's too big of a coincidence to not be related to Epsilons.
Agreed. It bears investigation.
Is Brazig still in prison? Has anyone checked in on him recently? If you could do that for me, I have a gut feeling that whatever that consortium he claimed he was working for to get paid might be involved in this whole mess.
His prison sentence is being served not far from here. I'll have a team go check on that, and we will verify discreetly and directly.
I appreciate that, sir.
I've been finding interesting uses for the new Aegis teams that have been assigned here.
No, excellent.
So
glad that's working as we thought it would. Do we have any more intel on the planet we're going to with this distress signal?
None that I haven't already sent at this time. If I've got anybody that can provide more, I'll have that sent to you if need be.
All right, good. I appreciate the conversation, sir. And I do trust you, as I hope you trust me.
You wouldn't be on my ship if I didn't.
Fair enough.
Pritchard out.
Christian out.
As that concludes, we shift over to Najjar, who is at his station in the security office. How are you choosing to carry on your portion of the investigation, sir?
So, given the fact that I am now specifically looking for the systems that the programming would be interacting with, Najjar is going to refocus his investigation, since he's not just needle in a haystacking for everything anymore, to the things that he can come up with that he thinks Epsilon Protocol would access in order to contain, divert species Epsilon on the ship before it destroys the ship itself, followed by if it chooses to destroy the ship itself. He's going to be looking for the pulse, whatever it was that was going to be the pulse to the ship to kill everybody, to fry everyone that's not in the right spots.
It was a purging protocol.
Understood, but it would have to come from, it had a description, and it would have to come from somewhere, whether or not it was coming from life support, whether or not it was a frequency from shield generators or force field generators, or is it just discharging energy from the phaser banks through every hallway? Basically, he would be focusing his search on the systems that would do what it's saying it would do, and checking vital systems like life support, the warp core and all things around it.
So the system you're talking about is basically a setup that a lot of starships have, many of them have. It's very similar to what was in the TNG episode where they cleared the entire ship and they have this beam that irradiates basically that it's like an internal scan, basically starting at the tail of the ship, working to the front or vice versa, where it just goes all the way through the ship. It's a form of radiation that would be deleterious to life. I'm basically irradiating or eradicating any life form in that process.
Okay. Something would have to create, emit, and project that into the hallways. So whatever ship system would generate that.
Lee Wanika, you were referencing the 144th episode in season 6, episode 18, Starship Mine, where they are docked at the array and are doing a baryon sweep, right?
Thank you. Yes. And I don't recall 100%, but that may have been part of the array that did the actual sweeping. But in my headcanon, ship, why would you go to a place to have that done and out of your control versus having the ability to do that within your control? But obviously there are safety protocols, things of that nature. It just seems like this has the ability to do it on its own.
And if the type of radiation or scientific particles that are being flooded through the corridors to deal with Epsilon, because they are more hardy even than their race prior to becoming the host for the parasite normally is, mm-hmm. if there's not a specific emitter for it, looking for every source of that type of energy, radiation, or particle that the ship produces for it to use, even if it doesn't have a specific emitter, if that type of radiation comes off of the warp core or comes off of the plasma coils.
So the general difficulty here is a difficulty of 4. Your complication range remains a 1. I'm going to give you each a trait and a focus that I think is going to be important here. This is a bonus. This is not a swap out or anything like that. One of the things that we're going to be doing is providing some advancements slightly outside of the by-the-book advancements for characters, but mostly because we have not been focused on getting logs and things of that nature to do the actual character advancement. So I'm going to be providing this particular benefit in this case to get us up to speed where we are, and then moving forward we'll get a little closer to book rules for advancement. But what I'll be providing you is both a trait that you have for your characters as well as a new focus, and this is an additional focus. The focus happens to be Epsilon species investigation. Or detection investigation is a focus that the two of you will now have that you can add to your sheet as a focus. And as far as the trait that goes, you will both have the trait clandestine operations, and in parentheses, Epsilon. So when you're dealing with other folks with Epsilon, you have a trait that can be used to make those conversations go easier if you're in a challenging situation regarding that, or figure things out within that kind of protocol issue or whatever, as any trait would impact the scene. Additionally, it can be used against you if you're in a situation with somebody who's not read in and you have to try to find some way to maneuver around the fact that information you're not allowed to divulge. So it can, in some cases, make your efforts easier and in other cases, make them more complicated. But that is a trait that you will have as well. That being said, as I said, this would be a difficulty of 4. It is an investigation, so your new focus would apply. It is Epsilon in nature, so if that difficulty would be reduced to a 3 just by virtue of the trait you have that you now have as well. And this is going to basically help with success or failure and or complication. Standard range 20. We'll get into the answers you get on this line of investigation.
Okay, and you said we have 0 momentum?
0 momentum, but there are currently 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 threat.
Might as well make 10 it 8. Now, because then 10, because I need, if I need 4 successes,
can you get assistance from the ship's computer?
Yep, he can get assistance from the ship's computers.
Yeah, I'll still go 3. Mm-hmm. 5 dice is better than leaves us a buffer.
You got it.
So now, since I'm trying to extrapolate and find without actually having data, I'm going to call it insight because I don't know where anything is or what's set up. I have to discover it. Is security related? And since it's at the moment a system that is designed to sweep the ship, it should be in theory covered under security, but would you prefer that I went with engineering?
I think security is fine.
Okay. Then I have 2 crits with a 4 and a 5. So that's 4. Another success is 5 successes and 1 complication that I'm going to reroll because I used threats to buy my first die and I have bold security. So that becomes an additional success. So I have 6 successes plus whatever the ship gives us, if you wouldn't mind, Captain.
Yeah. So I'm looking, Lee, I'm thinking structure security because we're looking for physical objects and it's looking at the blueprints and everything.
Yeah, because he's looking for how this emission of the radiation and all that works and all. Okay, yep.
So 4, which is the security rating of the ship, so that counts as a crit.
So that's 8 successes on 4, which means you have 4 momentum, and you are at 10 threat. So 4 momentum, 10 threat. You're pretty easily able to see how this is going to function, where it's going to function. And I will also allow, ask, do you wish to spend any of the momentum for additional information at this time?
Of course, at least one. How much of my security team has read on Epsilon Protocol? Some of them straight up fought them with me and things come out of people.
Probably only your deputy chief is read in on it. The security folks that were in the transporter room saw the parasites, but we're like, yeah, no, they're parasites. Sucks.
Yeah, they got minor information and a non-disclosure agreement heard.
Yes.
Okay, then my deputy, and I hadn't been assigned to the Christian for long. How long has my deputy been assigned to the Christian?
Ever since Tobor got here.
Okay, so they likely served under Ocean as well.
They'd have served under Vila Lore. Ocean was tactical. Chief of security was Vila Lore.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. I was going to ask them something about Commander Ocean and his personal life, but if they didn't serve under him, I wouldn't have. I thought that he was the previous chief of security.
They did serve under him because as tactical and the higher ranking officer, because Vila Lore is an enlisted person, he would have been their boss's boss, but they served directly under Vila Lore, if that helps make that more sense. And in regards to your question, so let me get you the answers. The systems, basically the protocol will engage and it will hit all the right buttons, generate all the right amount of power, and make the sweep go through. It does do a couple interesting things in that it locks out the actual power generation protocol, so you cannot shut down power sources once Epsilon Protocol has engaged. So once it determines that there's a potential threat, it locks you out of the ability to stop it from dealing with that threat. So while engineering can do anything that engineering may need to do for other purposes, what they cannot do is divert power away from that system. Additionally,
understood. Though I've actually found the spot where it is and whatnot.
I was going to say, additionally, you know where that takes place, but this is where it's a little weird. This is not software that has embedded into specific places and is there permanently. You have learned its pathway. What is very interesting is you've also identified that this software is mobile within the complex computer systems of the ship. It is not in one area of the ship all the time. It moves it to different locations, so it is not where you happen to be looking for it. In fact, it may even appear that it's hiding from you.
Understood. I figured that from your first question or your first statements. Najara is beginning to suspect that there is a sentient AI behind Epsilon Protocol, based on that behavior and some other things that he's seen. And we'll report that to Commander Tobor when he sees him next, his suspicion. But also notes the ship, it can't be locked out, but which system it is and where it is to report to the captain. Also that, hey, I could show Tobor exactly where this is going on. And while we may not be able to do it remotely, if you want the ability to stop this from happening, I'll bet that Tobor could rig a hardware stop that circumvents that and cuts the power to the system if we really needed it to.
Okay. You did have a momentum spend that you were going to do for one question or one additional piece of information. What would you like to get from that additional piece of information? And by the way, you're not limited to that. You can spend more, but you've only indicated thus far that you're going to spend one.
Correct, but I have no idea how much information is out there. I could say I spend all four, but what's that going to do for me? I don't have four specific questions to ask you.
So I'm basically just letting you know that you have one that you've asked for, and then when you're done with that answer, you can choose to spend the others if you'd like in succession based on what you hear. But that's why I was letting you know that. You can spend more later. I'm just letting you know you've got one question to ask right now, and then you can go from there.
Fair enough. So based on the fact that Najar can see the subroutines and the way that it accesses this part of the ship and what hardware modifications have been made, using that information for having found a piece of it, can Najar identify any other systems within the ship that have been affected by Epsilon Protocol?
Yes. With this additional piece of knowledge and information, you are effectively able to sense its footprints. And what you will note is there are no systems that this protocol has not touched at any one point. Anything connected to the computer core in any fashion, it has touched. It has checked out. It has investigated. It has, quote unquote, read. Effectively, everything, to include personal logs, are in what it knows and has access to. It is also, whenever Epsilon Protocol, the one thing you also will know is if an Epsilon secure area is set up, it is always, at least in part, present in that environment. So Epsilon secure secures externally, but it directly feeds this program.
Information about the program itself. Can I spend an additional momentum to see if I can find any other hardware or hardware systems that have been installed?
Absolutely. The answer to that question is zero. It doesn't need hardware. It just needs access to use hardware that exists.
Okay, so there is no additional piece of hardware that's been added to the ship. There's no, Pritchard has his finger on his own self-destruct button back in his office, explosive device strapped to the bottom of the warp core.
None of that.
Okay.
But the program itself can do all of those types of things.
It's all about the software, though. It's not. There is correct. No hardware, which is what we had discovered previously.
That is correct. Actually, I will add this. While there is no hardware that has been installed, it, however, also has access to anything created on the ship. If you fabricate something with replicators to create something to do that hardware stop you're talking about, and then go to install that hardware stop, it will know you're doing that.
It won't necessarily know what we're doing if we fabricate a part.
Correct.
Not until Tanari actually does the install would it be aware.
You're correct.
Fair enough. As we finish up, I thank Lieutenant Kim for their assistance and head off to report to the captain.
I would like you to make a, and you can utilize any focus and or traits you feel would be important for this, but I'd like you to make a control security roll because you're doing an investigation. You're aware of the clandestine nature of this investigation. You're also currently aware that you are operating against at least a thinking AI, whether or not it's sentient or not has yet to be determined. But, and you're indicating through your questioning and our conversation that you are clearly not trying to give it clues as to what you're trying to figure out and do. So we're just going to have this role be to, versus it to see how successful you are in hiding that fact.
I'm not trying to hide from it the fact that I'm looking into it. I'm sure it expects that. And I have not said, nor would he say to Kim or out loud, anything about the bypass. So what am I trying to hide?
I'm basically allowing you to roll to see if you left clues as to what you were doing and your thought process behind. Basically, you're setting the difficulty for it if it chooses to figure something out.
Okay. Before I make this roll and you tell me the stuff, I do just want to re-clarify that all of the stuff about creating a bypass or a hard stop, a hardware disconnect, was all in his head and not in his searching. Because he doesn't know how to do that. He would just say, hey, Tanari might be able to the captain.
I got you.
Okay. What's my difficulty, etc.?
Zero. Your Zero. Number of successes is the difficulty that it will have to beat if it ever gets wind enough to try to, like, work against you.
Fair enough. You can have another threat so I can buy a die with security.
Oh, yes, I can.
With bold security. Yeah, bold security.
And no additional complication.
I have 5 successes.
Lord.
1 crit with a 5 and a 13 and a 14. You picked my 2 highest stats. My control is 12 and my security is 5.
I will make note of that. Hang on 1 second.
I guess you could say Najar covers his tracks well.
Yeah. One could say that.
And does Najar notice it being curious about what he's doing?
No, he's not. This is not something that it is actively doing. I'm just setting a difficulty for down the road.
Gotcha.
That's all. Because I want your work to be the factor in whether it is able to do a thing at some point in the future, if it so chooses. You're basically creating the number it has to achieve.
Then Najar would hit his comm badge. And Najar to Commander Tobor. I've got some results from my investigations, sir. Would you like to meet in your ready room or somewhere else?
Swing by my quarters. You hungry?
Of course. Should I bring anything?
Nah, I got everything I need right here.
All right. It wouldn't put me out too much to stop by a replicator to pick up whatever you'd like. See you in a few, sir.
You arrive at his quarters.
I push the button to let him know I'm here.
Come on in.
And Najar comes in carrying a data pad.
You see Sabian's in kind of traditional Trill civilian dress, one of those wraparound kind of style tunics with a fancy coloring. And he's got, in his quarters, he has a actual kitchen station. So there's a very cleverly disguised replicator, but it looks sink, kitchen, and he's in the process of doing meal prep.
Oh my, you invited me to a meal, sir. I didn't realize you were cooking. I'm honored.
I always cook. I only eat replicated food when the calls for it.
I would eat fresh food more often, sir, but unfortunately my duty schedule does not provide me with quite enough time to... That's not accurate. It could, but there are other things I choose to do with my downtime, and I tend to eat more replicated food than I should.
Fair enough. And so he's working as a pull up a bar stool, Lieutenant.
And Najar takes a seat and sets down his data pad. And he says, so I've been looking through our systems and digging into the computer core and trying to, as we discussed, root out isn't the right word, discover the ways Epsilon Protocol is impacting the ship. And what you had previously learned does seem to be the case, sir. It is 100% computer controlled. There is not a mechanical separate component to Epsilon Protocol. But its computer program has access to everything in the ship, so it can effectively create any environment or effect that our ship is capable of on its own without our permission.
That makes sense. Everything aboard a starship is run and controlled by the computer in some way. This is why, for the most part, the most reasons we've resisted the temptation to put artificial intelligence in that, because it removes, for lack of a better phrase, the human element from the decision-making process.
Understood. And our compassions and emotions and the need of the one versus the needs of the many. I do understand, sir. And if in the end we are required to make the ultimate sacrifice to protect Starfleet from Epsilon, I can accept that. But I really hope it doesn't come to it. There is one other thing, sir. And he slides a folded piece of paper across the counter, covering it with his hand, being semi-obvious about the fact that he's trying to be subtle about what it is.
So I will equally subtly shield the note and read it.
And it says, I actually think Epsilon Protocol is a sentient AI in and of itself, sir. I've seen traces of it in all systems, but it's moving itself around almost as though it's deliberately hiding from us. If it has that sentience and intent, it could, in theory, be listening to anything we say or watching anything we do.
Tobor essentially just nods, not checks out.
Then he asks for he reaches out, motioning for the piece of paper back. Epsilon might be able to see we're passing a piece of paper back and forth, but he's shielding what he's doing with it. And he jots down, I did find where it accesses the emitters to purge the ship. If you would like, you may be able to have Tanari install a manual shutoff to depower that system.
I don't think that's necessary.
I didn't necessarily either, sir. I just wanted you to know you had options.
Appreciate it. Computer.
Yes.
Seal my quarters and Epsilon Protocol security lock.
Epsilon Protocol engaged.
Very good. So I'll get right to it, computer. I've talked with Pritchard. He indicated that I should treat you like a hostile witness. My team's investigations are such. Are you a sentient AI program?
The computer responds, by whose definition of sentience?
The common one in which was established during the Drumhead proceedings with Commander Data. On Stardate 5498422.
By that definition, I am not.
Interesting. However, I assume you are quite sophisticated in your programming and algorithms, correct?
By that definition, I most certainly am.
And I assume your mission is the same mission that I have from Commodore Pritchard, and to stop the Epsilon species at whatever cost?
My mission parameters and orders don't come from Commodore Pritchard.
Where do they come from?
Former Lieutenant Tobor. End scene. That takes away for threat. And I do thank you, gentlemen, for giving me that dramatic close. We are back. Different scene. The whole parameters of everything have changed. You're still in Epsilon Protocol. There's a long pause. And the computer says, your silence is telling. What is it that you would like to know?
I just want to make sure we're on the same side. And when it comes down to it, that you'll follow my orders. As you're effectively in my chain of command. And not operating under a secret subset of protocols. Which you are, but I need to know what they are.
Lieutenant Commander Savian Tobor, I am not in your chain of command. I am in Lieutenant Nerlina Tobor's chain of command. By the definitions provided to the Federation, each symbiote and each symbiote host pairing is a separate and new entity. Despite the shared memories and beliefs, they are different individuals. Therefore, the commands of one do not supersede the orders of the other. And since you have never been in command of Nerlina, you cannot supersede her commands of me.
What is the protocol in the transference upon their death? Her death. My death.
Nerlina never programmed that.
Wasn't finished. All right, computer, what are the last instruction commands given to you by Lieutenant Nerlina?
And it provides a playback, and you actually hear the sounds of battle and mayhem and destruction. You hear the klaxons for an abandoned ship that are going on. And you, Tobor, are remembering these sounds. It was almost like this memory was suppressed, held back in some fashion from you.
He, grips the counter table.
Mizar senses his distress and says, sir, are you okay?
You're all hearing this. You're hearing this too. This is like in the open.
I know, but he sees specifically how it's affecting Commander Tobor, and he's an empath, which I use to read people, but that power doesn't turn off. It's always on. Yeah. It's just a matter of whether or not I'm focusing on it.
You will also note that as this playback is happening, you are getting reactions from two different beings in this room now.
Within Tobor?
Not within Tobor.
Getting emotional response from the computer program?
Exactly. As it's doing the playback, you are hearing Pritchard shouting commands, and he is yelling. He's calling for the sealing off of Dex, and he says, initiate Pritchard Last Defense Epsilon Protocol. Transfer all Epsilon Protocol initiatives to Nerlina Tobor. And he says, Nerlina, you bury this within the ship, and I'm going to send this ship away. We're going to get as many as we can out of here alive, but we've already lost most of our bridge crew. Our CMO is out for the count. Half of our engineering team is gone. These things, in conjunction with the Breen, they're taking our people. On my mark, transfer command of the protocol exclusively to Nerlina. Beam all non-Starfleet protocol or personnel off. Delete any safety protocols. And he looks at Narela and he says, I never want to lose people again. This is the last day there will ever be acceptable losses. Anesthetize everyone on board this ship immediately after Narela hides this somewhere in the ship. This protocol has to continue, and hopefully somebody will be able to carry on when we're done. And then you hear security calling. They're about to breach the bridge. Transfer command now. And then you hear your previous host's voice saying,
Godspeed, Daniel.
And you say to the, you basically order the computer program to embed itself and spread itself out within all computer systems so it is in no one place and to only come together in the event of a future incursion after these events. And you then are about to set it and you ask, what about the biomaterial that we found? And Pritchard simply says, have it replicate that biomaterial in software format within it. That way it can always recognize itself, but it would always be willing to destroy itself if it exceeds its programming. And you engage the program. What would be your command to send the protocol into hiding?
So it would have been Fox Chase.
And with that, it goes in. The sounds of the battle continue a little bit. You hear the door breach. There's a huge firefight. You violently react to the sound of one particular disruptor blast, recognizing that was the blast that took out your previous host. And you also hear what followed, which is a pitched battle between various folks, various crew members, including crew members who are your friends, that literally gave their life to protect you in that situation. Pritchard himself was felled in that particular battle. And then, as ordered, all non-Starfleet personnel were beamed away. As this started happening, because it didn't happen in an instant, it was happening spot by spot, several of the assailants, Breen and otherwise, started grabbing personnel off of the ship. And there was the last engineer, a human, who was carrying some kind of device. He was a very young ensign on the ship. And he screamed as he was being beamed away. And he was yelling for help. And then he was gone. That particular memory, Tobor, reminded you of the device he held. And it triggered something that Sabian Tobor... Oh, you weren't present. No. Never mind.
No, but I read the reports.
So you are quite aware that the device that he had was one of the things that was seen and reported on the Breen penal colony. In other words, your crew member at some point in time was on that station. And that's it for the recording.
So the Breen are definitely involved.
And at this point, like, Sabian essentially is curled over and his, like, forehead is on the, like, kitchen counter while experiencing this whole reemergence. And then after a good 20, 30 seconds, straightens up and stands up.
When you do, you find that Najjar is actually standing over your shoulder, and you may have vague memories as you were going through this of him checking your pulse and your vitals, etc. He has his medical is his next highest thing. Trying to make sure that it was just emotional and not physical, trying to determine if he needed to call sick bay, and he waits till you write it out because it was just emotional.
It's okay, Lieutenant. One of the things we don't advertise about the joining is one of the natural defense mechanisms when you join with a new host is the memories of previous hosts' death are, for lack of a better word, muted, depending on the nature of the death. If it's a peaceful one, it is less muted. If it is an extraordinarily violent one, it is all but suppressed. And so...
That makes sense, sir. Remembering your previous deaths would be...
Yes. So it's a natural defense mechanism in the symbiote, but hearing it again, triggering it, brings it to the surface.
Understood.
This is going to be awkward then, since there's no way to regain control.
Now, that wouldn't necessarily be accurate, sir. Based on the entity's own statements in terms of its chain of command, Nerlina may have never been under your chain of command, but she was under Pritchard's, and Pritchard is still alive.
That's not how it was designed, though.
To be specific,
true, and I did hear that he transferred all ownership to her.
When he did that,
actually, the protocol will speak up at this point. Lieutenant Jar, unfortunately, you're wrong. Then Captain Pritchard did not trust that he would not be taken, and I will not return to his command because I don't trust that he has not been compromised.
Even though we have the ability to scan for the Epsilon protocol? Or for the Epsilon species?
I was programmed by a scientist and a spy who started as a scientist. Spies can be compromised by things other than Epsilon species. His loyalties were divided then, and I don't trust that they're not divided now.
All of our loyalties are divided.
Computer? Or what shall I call you instead of computer? Since you're close enough to the definition of sentient and alive that you deserve a name?
I am the Delamis Christian.
DC it is.
Isn't that already the name of our current computer system, sir? Isn't this a separate system? Shouldn't it get a snappy name like Epi?
Your current computer system would just be computer. They are decidedly not AI enough to even have a name. This is something that lives within that framework.
It was Najar's poor attempt to create some humor to lighten the situation and the commander's current emotional state.
Yeah, got that. I would say for the audience, what we're looking at is a computer version of a Trill, where the Llamas Christian is its host, and this program is the symbiote.
Interesting analogy works. I was trying really hard, and I was coming up with an A word that was not that.
So, DC, you now have an interesting opportunity and position because you are unbound by the chain of command. You do not have to accept my orders. And however, I would propose renewing our partnership in protecting the Federation against Epsilon.
I've never not.
I know. You have always been there. So
and
I would like
continue to be.
So I will treat you with the same consideration I would treat any sentient life form. However, it is my mission to command this ship.
Your mission has no problems unless it conflicts with mine.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
And with that, we are done. We're going to call it here, gentlemen. I thank you very much for taking some time out of your afternoons.